Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Oh, do you understand what we just watched?
Yeah, I got it.
I mean, I get the gist of it, but I don't understand what happened in it.
Oh, I get it, Will. I think you're just... I don't know, you need to think harder. You need to try expanding your horizons.
I need to go deeper, you could say.
Yeah.
I need to open my third eye.
Yes.
And penetrate the the wokeness.
You need to let this movie penetrate your brain first.
I need to let it exercise its demons from within.
Yes. Get it out of you.
Yes.
I let this movie penetrate me. Yes. And I get it. Now, it explains pretty much nothing.
No.
Not in dialogue terms anyway. Things just could have happened. And you kind of just, you figure it out, Will. You know why? Because I'm fucking woke.
You are, because you understand it more than I do.
I get it completely.
I don't.
But it's a Shakespearean tragedy.
It is. Lady Macbeth and Macbeth's tragedy has nothing on this shit.
Nothing.
Absolute fucking
on the tragedy
nothing.
Of Dr.
Modavo. I think it's Modavo. The story.
I'll let you start, and I'm gonna look up what the fuck this asshole's name was.
So the movie we watched tonight, our first of 1974, was Legacy of Satan.
Dr. Modavo.
Modavo, okay.
Whatever kind of name that is. Modavo. Dr. Modavo.
So, Legacy of Satan.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say before we get into it. I guess just that.
Open your mind.
Yes. Open your eyes, open your ears, and open your mind, more importantly. You know what? We're going to get really philosophical in this episode. We're going to get really deep into this episode.
Are we going to get philosophical?
No. I'm just joking. It's a fucking horror movie review. We're not going to get philosophical.
Well, there's no jokes in this movie. There's no joking when talking about Legacy of Satan.
We're going to play it completely serious while we explain this
masterpiece.
Important movie to everyone.
It's very important.
It's very important that people see this movie because it's one of those films that you watch and you're just like, yeah, I get life now. I understand the meaning of life.
The meaning of life, Will, is that the devil will play some magic vagina powers on your girlfriend.
Voodoo sex power.
And then she will start to want to become his queen.
Yeah.
He's not really the devil. It's just Dr.
Modavo. And it's not the devil. It's Lord Rakesh.
Yeah.
Rakesh.
The devil didn't let them use his trademark.
Rakesh. Yeah, it's Rakesh.
Yeah. So,
even though it's called Legacy of Satan. Okay, yeah. You know what? No? You know what?
You know why this happened, though?
We're going to play it completely serious.
You know why this happened?
What?
Because he wasn't satisfying her at night, Will. He showed us earlier. Their love life is not too good.
Just wait until he pulls out that fucking lightsaber, though.
Yeah, but by then she was long gone.
I know.
Mentally.
Lightsaber couldn't save her.
She wanted a different lightsaber much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, she wasn't getting it. So, it left the door, metaphorically speaking, wide open. For Moldavo's voodoo vagina powers.
Yes.
To mess with her.
Apparently, apparently all you have to do to sexually possess a woman is have another woman lie in front of a picture of the woman you want to possess.
But you have to make sure you steal a picture.
Yes.
A photograph.
You have to steal a photograph and have the other woman lay in front of that photograph.
Yes.
And make moaning sounds.
And
light the picture on fire.
Mm.
And then as she's making moaning sounds, the other girl will get possessed by having a dream about having sex with a demon.
Did you say moaning sounds?
Well, not just that. I mean,
did you say moaning sounds.
Completion sounds.
Okay, too. We're gonna stop there. We're gonna continue that tangent much later.
Okay. All right. So let's start the review now that we're 5 minutes deep into this and we actually haven't said anything about the movie.
Hey, this thing's only an hour and 10 minutes, baby. We might be longer than the movie.
I think we probably will be. All right. So it starts with this Satanist cult, and a girl is tied up on this like podium.
Yes.
And she's, like, bleeding from each of the arms, and there's, like, a bunch of people drinking her blood while this crazy woman behind her...
Chants,
Lord Rakish, come to us.
It doesn't matter.
Lord Rakish, yeah, it's not
We've important. Seen it so many times now, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's beyond us, but...
The best one is Kali.
We do get...
Kalima. That's the best chanting.
Yeah, but that's because,
That's a good movie?
Yeah, well...
No, you know what? This is a great movie. I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, this is so much better than Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
So.
And we do get an introduction, though, to the absolutely insane score of the movie.
Yes.
It's a synthesizer score that is absolute insanity.
It's like turned up to 11. It's totally just insane. It's like you took a synthesizer, took the bass and the treble way too up, just amplified everything to 11.
And go crazy.
And just go crazy on that piano.
It kind of fits.
It does. It kind
of fits the insanity of the movie.
Because this movie is pure insanity.
Yeah. So they do this ritual and blah, blah, blah.
While the credits are rolling and stuff. The real important part is after this scene, after they do all their Satanist bullshit... we get three people talking about one of their friends leaving.
Okay, well, first of all, how dare you skip the amazing dialogue. They just finished having, like, dinner. So they go into, like, the living room. And one guy's sitting on one, like, chair, and the other guy's sitting on a chair across from him. And then the woman comes in, and she's just like, here comes the booze.
Here comes the booze.
Which is very fitting.
Hands one of the guys like this giant snifter of fucking, brandy.
Yeah. But then like, and then it has the other guy, and the other guy like grabs her ass, like right in front of the other guy, and we're already like, what? And they start talking, and she's just like, he says like, oh god, what the fuck? The guy across from him says like, you know, you're a very lucky man, George. And he's like, why? Because I just grabbed her behind? And he's like, well, no, but you do have good taste. And they have this, like, conversation. It's just them talking, and she's just, like, saying, like, oh, don't you think I'm sexy?
Yes.
Things like that. And then...
No, she says, I'm not beautiful. How about sexy?
Yeah. And then, after they're done jerking each other off, we finally...
Get to the meat of the conversation. Arthur is leaving town or leaving them or not coming back because
and he's not telling them like
he's pursuing something.
He's being vague.
And then like his friend decides to confront him about it and was like, "Why? Why are you leaving? For religion? Are you doing it for religion?"
Yeah.
And like
he's like, "I don't understand. Like you're this old and you don't have any clue what you want to do."
And then Arthur comes in with, well, don't you believe in a higher power?
Do you believe in God?
Do you believe in God?
And then George is like, yeah, I believe in God, sure. But what does that have to do with anything? Like, are you going to have to go to like a monastery and become a monk? And he's like, well, then, if you believe in God, you must believe in the devil.
There has to be another power, an opposite power, like there the is, devil.
Like, what do you say, like evil forces all around us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking very cryptically.
That's done.
And George keeps yelling at him, doesn't want him to leave. That whole scene's done. So then we get a guy that can only be described as a low-rent Ben Stiller with a giant 70s mustache.
Porno mustache.
Yes. That's probably... I'll save that for later.
Exactly. Strategic. And he... we just see him walking... He walks up this apartment and just...
And there's this really annoying, like, loud humming sound, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's walking up the stairs, and he goes into this room and grabs a picture.
There's a photograph, yeah.
Photograph of this, the woman And I guess it had the guy's picture in there, too. I don't know.
It was just a woman.
But anyway, so he grabs this girl's picture and then leaves. And then it pans over and it's the young couple in bed.
In bed. Having...
They just left their bedroom door. Apparently their bedroom is literally the first,
it's the first room
you go into when you enter their home. And they left it they just left it unlocked.
Maybe that's their thing.
Their kink.
It's a kink. And they just got finished having some very mediocre sex because he just, like, rolls off of her. She's still dressed and she's just like, love me? But like a question.
Yes.
Yeah, like, do you love me? But she just says, love me?
Love me?
And he's like, oh, sure, I love you.
Now, I could barely hear what they were saying.
Oh, I could.
Because they were whispering the entire time.
And I could hear absolutely nothing. And you know what?
We had the volume cranked, too. I was, like, trying to turn it up more, and I still couldn't hear what they were saying.
They were just whisper talking.
Mm-hmm.
But all the point is, she's not happy. She wants to feel loved.
Yeah, so she's feeling like he's not giving her enough, and so she needs to feel more loved, and he needs to touch her more, and all this stuff. So then, after they have their little needy conversation, the guy with the picture walks into a mansion,
and the doors just open.
Yeah, they just automatically open, like not like a sliding door, but like just wide open.
Yeah, and he walks and he gives the picture to this guy, and we saw him in the beginning of the movie. He was like the kind of like, they showed him as the leader.
The doctor is in.
Yeah.
Dr. Moldavo.
Moldavo, and he gives it to Dr. Moldavo. And his,
And Moldavo is very impressed.
His mute assistant.
Yes.
Is immediately jealous.
Aurelia, I think her name is.
She's jealous. Because he found himself another lady.
Now, I want to mention, before we get on with it, I want to mention their crescent moon necklaces.
Please.
Like, Me and Alex had a running theory that how large your crescent moon necklace is how high rank you are.
Yes.
Because the guy walking with the picture has a small crescent moon. We see later a guy with a medium crescent moon and a few with medium and small crescent moons. But Dr. Moldavo has a giant... It takes up, like, all of his chest.
Do you remember, what the fuck was his name? The rapper with the clocks? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, why can't I remember his name?
I should know this.
I do. He's from Public Enemy.
I love Public Enemy. I should know this.
Why can't I not? Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. Yeah.
Yeah, Flavor Flav.
He wore those giant clocks.
Yeah, he wore the giant clocks. But this is like, think the giant clock.
Yeah.
But a giant fucking metallic crescent moon.
And they're very handy because, as we see, apparently these people drink blood. So the crescent moon necklaces can also double as knives.
Yes.
It's a very handy thing. And also, Aurelia, the assistant, really wants him to drink her blood. Why? Tell me, Will, why?
Because...
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to take this more seriously because I'm trying to comprehend, like, what exactly happened in this movie. But, like, so many plot holes... That I just can't.
You know why?
They jump around like a madman.
Because deep down, this movie is about men who won't satisfy their ladies.
Or satisfy them too much.
So we have George who won't satisfy his lady at home.
And then we have Moldavo who won't satisfy his lady. I see what you're getting at now. It's a metaphor.
Satisfying ladies.
Exactly.
We'll get to that.
Okay. So anyway... I mean, if you can't tell, there's obviously a trend going on here, but we'll explain it all at the end.
No, there's no trend. Well, it's just, you know, it's totally coincidental.
All about satisfaction.
It's completely coincidental.
Completely coincidental.
There's no motives here.
No.
So she wants him to suck her blood, and he won't, because he wants to, I guess, like...
Save himself for... The lady in the picture.
I don't know.
Fucking know. That's what my guess. I have no idea.
Don't matter.
So anyway, he feeds a man blood.
No. It's So we see... What the fuck was his...
Arthur.
Or was that later?
No, he's feeding Arthur the blood, remember? Because okay. we don't see who he's feeding the blood to, but he like gives someone a...
No. Is this the scene though with the woman where she's like cutting herself?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we see him. And so we see like this woman, she's like cutting her finger and then like dunk, like kind of like, I don't fucking know, like
dangling,
dabbing the blood
yeah.
into this guy's mouth, and he's like fucking like half orgasming. He's like,
oh yeah.
And then we see that it's Arthur from earlier.
Yeah. Arthur has joined this blood demon yeah. cult.
And the Moldavo comes to him and is like, I want to meet your friend Maya.
Maya and George.
Yeah. We're going to have a costume party and you should invite them.
Yep. So he's going to lure them to the yeah. mansion by saying there's a costume party, and then he's going
to, yeah. And as he's doing this, the woman next to him keeps like cutting her arm and dabbing blood into his mouth.
So after this scene, after all that happens, we...
Okay.
This... Alright, I need to prepare myself for this next scene.
Yeah, you need to get your lube.
Yes.
And... Okay, so... There's a ceremony.
There's a seance.
There is a... Very, like...
Scandally clad?
Yeah, woman.
And that's, like, an understatement, because she's, like, literally wearing just, like, a loincloth. But well, it's like shot.
Okay, it's like
it's shot from her like calf, pointed up.
Well, the thing is like the upper half of her body is like fully clothed.
Yeah, but the lower half. But is for like a some reason,
the lower half is the smallest loincloth well, ever.
And it's shot from her like calf, so it's an awkward yeah. angle, and you can see like the fold of her butt like meeting her thigh.
As she
fucking, riles on the yeah, like, it's fucking dumb.
It's fucking dumb.
And she's like, just like... Well,
first we're like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
why is this even happening?
But then it shows us Maya is asleep, and she is also like...
Writhing
in pleasure. At first I was confused. I was like, is she like orgasming, or is she in pain?
I was confused too, because she's like sweating. She looks like she's in pain, but...
But then it becomes more obvious that she's... not in pain.
Yeah, so they're both getting, like, immense pleasure.
Yeah.
While the lady from the beginning that's, like, summoning Rakish was, like, she just keeps saying, like, something about, like, the seance, and then the girl laying on the table says, like, come.
Well, she says that, and so does Maya.
Come. And then Maya's like, oh, come. And I'm just like, oh my god, are you serious? This is ridiculous.
So, this goes on for a very long time.
Yep, and then, like, presumably eventually, both women...
Oh, and her photograph lights on fire.
Yes, so, yeah. like, as they're writhing around, when it's shown in the seance, like, Maya's picture starts lighting on fire. As it shows the picture lighting on fire, and then, like, the legs of the woman, like, you know, like, squirming around.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
They're not done yet.
No.
Because, so the woman in the seance stops writhing, and then Maya gets woken up by George.
Yes.
And she is immediately like, I feel weird. I feel strange. And she like takes his hand.
Puts it under the covers.
Puts it on her on her crotch, and is like, it's warm.
Look, feel the warmth.
Feel the warm. Feel it. And he's like, kind of like, just not saying anything. And then she says, get it out of me.
She wants him to exorcise her demons.
Get it out of me!
With his dick. I can't believe we watched this movie. Okay. I guess we got to explain the rest, too, which is ridiculous.
So, she gets on top of him, and...
They start kind
of
going at
it. Well, first of all... Okay, she gets that imaginary D made her kinky.
Yeah, she starts like clawing his chest.
She starts like scratching it to the blood, like, you know, and he's bloody,
mm-hmm.
and he's in pain. But she does this for like 5 seconds, and then she starts crying.
And then the guy, I mean, any guy would do this, be like, "What's wrong? Are you okay?" Like, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, trying to console her, And then she gets off of him. She gets
angry.
And instantly blames him for thinking, like, you always think there's something wrong.
We never make love.
You always think there's something wrong.
Yeah, like, it was something like, we never make love because you always think there's something wrong.
Yes.
And I was like, what the shit?
I'm like, you were just crying on top of him.
After you were like, get it out of me.
There's obviously something wrong. Oh, no,
it's fine.
No, everything's, that's how she acts on a normal day. Maybe that is how she acts on a normal daily basis. I don't know.
They didn't even need the possession.
Nope. she's just crazy.
She's gray, and he's too vanilla.
So, this is another weird scene that I can barely explain. So, we get a scene of a stairwell.
I legitimately have no clue.
I still don't understand this.
The deal is with the scene, I kind of liked it, but in context of the movie...
It made no sense.
You could take this out and nothing changes.
No. So we get a shot of a stairwell and a door open.
Well, no, we see like a first person like point of view.
Yeah.
Like, it's like someone entering the apartment, and then they walk, and then they walk up to... Maya, who's in like a chair, just kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
And there's blood behind her.
So, yeah, and she like kind of like becomes coherent and looks up the wall and sees like one of her paintings is crying blood.
Yeah, like, and you see it like crying blood out of the eyes. And then she just gets attacked.
By this weird, like, burnt-faced demon.
It looks like something from Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, no eyes. The only thing it has is this round mouth. And it keeps, like, biting her.
Now, I would have thought this was creepy in any other movie. But this movie, I didn't.
I mean, in the moment it happened, I did think it was creepy. But, again, it has absolutely... no bearing on anything.
So she gets attacked, falls to the ground, and then, like, you know, comes to in a flop sweat on the ground where she, like, where the demon attacked her.
And she sees that, like, but there's nothing.
She has nothing on her, and the painting's not crying. Then it immediately cuts to a hair salon. And just a bunch of ladies sitting in a hair salon.
Well, this scene also makes no sense because it's the hair salon, and then we hear George talking, and then it immediately shows them having, like, dinner.
Yeah, they're having...
Not dinner, they're having, like, lunch, eating pie.
And George is confronting her about why she hasn't talked at all.
And she's acting weird again. Because she's like... Oh, he's like, what are you thinking about? And he's like, she's like, cherry pie. He's like, okay, what are you thinking about cherry pie? She's like, it kind of looks like blood. And he's like... She's like, do you think so? And he's like, no.
It looks like cherry pie.
And she, like, stabs it and is like, does it look like blood now? And he's like, no. And then she takes
the... Well, no, he says, no, it looks like mashed cherry pie.
No shit. And she takes the knife and cuts her finger and is like, look what you made me do.
Look what you made me do. This is what you do for hounding me so much.
And he's like... Okay, he looks... Okay... She then takes her finger and is like, suck it.
Suck it. Clean up your mess.
Like, I want you to lick the blood off. And he's fine.
Now, any...
He's a tiny bit spooked, but he's mostly fine.
Any sane person, I don't care if you're a man or a woman at this point, like, any sane person would... Like, be like, yeah, there's clearly something wrong. Like,
it's a very, very hot take, Will.
Like, this is pretty scary. She's obviously crazy. Maybe I should distance myself or get her some help. Like, just maybe.
That's a very, very hot take, Will.
Is
I don't
it?
Know, man.
Because any normal person would be like, okay, this is where I draw the line. This is freaking me out.
No, Will, the people in this movie act very much like normal, real human beings.
No, they're not.
I assure you.
Okay, sure. All right.
There you do.
You know what? I trust your opinion, so...
It's fine.
You're
right. He loves her. And he's willing to put up with her cutting her finger and then telling him to suck it.
And he just does. He complies.
And then as he's... The phone rings, and it's...
Arthur.
Arthur. Inviting her to the party, and she says yes. But at the same time she's on the phone, she is still sticking her finger in his mouth.
Yep, still, like, making him lick it up. And then, so, she's like, yes, of course we'll come to the party, Arthur.
And she hangs up.
She hangs up.
And then he's like, why did you hang up? You didn't even ask me if I want to go. And she's like, well, I want to go. And he doesn't need much convincing.
Well, no. Again, this is not the smartest man in the world, because he is... At this point, I would be running for the hills. But, anyway, so... She convinces him by literally, like complaining that he's always hounding her.
Guilt trip.
That he's, like, he's always on her ass.
Yeah.
So, like, they should go because she wants to do it, even though she doesn't like going to parties, according to George.
The problem is, well, he's not on her ass enough.
Yes. Well, clearly.
That's the problem.
Clearly not. Exactly.
So they're getting dressed, and now she doesn't want to go.
Now she's like, oh, I don't want to go.
But then he's like...
Then he's like, you said we were going
to
go.
We have to go.
Now he's acting not like a normal person would, but he's acting like semi, like, well, you said you wanted to go, so we should go.
Yeah. Then they're driving, and suddenly she's like, do you think, like... Like, I never feel sexy.
So you actually forgot something real quick. So she blames it on headaches and no sleep. And then Arthur calls again.
Mm.
Remember, Arthur calls again.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's no... So George picks up the phone this time.
Yeah.
And there's no answer. And he's like, hello? Who is this? I can hear you breathing. Who is this?
And then it shows Arthur, and he's not saying anything because Dr.
Moldavo.
Which... What the f- I don't know what the fuck he's a doctor of.
I have no idea.
Doctor of love.
Doctor of love and demons.
And he's now telling him, like, you're going to be punished for this. So we get them driving to the party. And she's just all of a sudden like, I never feel sexy. And he's like, well, you were sure sexy this afternoon. I have the marks to prove it. And she's like, yeah, but like, I never feel sexy.
She's like,
do you think I'm sexy?
Do you think I'm too cold?
Oh, yeah.
I need to be more sexy.
I think I'm too cold.
And then we also get a scene of the Dr. Moldavo sentencing Arthur to torture by having people suck blood out of him.
Oh, they were, like, lined up.
Yeah, they're like, all lined up, and they're just sucking blood out of him and, like, cutting him. It's ridiculous.
Apparently the man has limits, Will.
So... Dr. Moldavo is sitting with the picture again. Well, no, not the picture. He's, like, saying, like, oh, my queen is almost here.
My queen has arrived.
Like, my queen has arrived. And then Aurelia doesn't want him to keep torturing Arthur.
Yeah.
And so he threatens Aurelia and is like, hey, like, you know, don't get in my way.
She finally gets what she wants, though.
Yeah, he sucks her neck.
He finally sucks her neck.
Yes.
And then we get... So... They...
So the wife, before they get out of the car, the wife does admit to being, like, odd.
Yeah.
For the past few days and apologizes. And then we get them going into the party, and they're in a room.
And they're putting on their... It's a costume party. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
How dare you laugh, Will.
Oh, my God.
This is a costume, okay?
Oh, my God. I don't... If you can tell me what costume it is, I would love that.
It's the, You know what it is, Will? It's the our actress won't appear nude in the movie, so we convinced her that we will just paint, like put white paint on all of her private parts.
So they put paint over her breasts.
No. Please, Will. You have to explain the top.
I'm going to. So here we go.
Okay.
So they put
quote unquote top.
Yes. They put paint over her breasts. And then put paint all around her crotch in this weird pattern.
And her, like, butt.
And over her butt.
Yeah.
And then they drape this see-through sheer...
Well, it's very see-through.
...cloth over her.
It looks like a fucking curtain.
And that's it?
That's it.
That's the costume. How that was a costume? I have no idea.
Oh, I gave you the explanation.
Now, George is actually fully dressed. He's in, like, a jester...
Yes. Very fitting.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking clown.
Yeah.
And, but, the quote-unquote costume, it just looks hilarious because the white paint is so, like...
It's, like, tacky.
It sticks out a lot.
So it looks like tack. Yeah. Like, you know what tack is? Like, yeah. It looks like it was just pieced together real quick.
It does.
And I'm guaranteeing, like, it looks like she just dipped her breasts in tack.
Or they just did a good once-over.
Yes, that's probably what they did.
A good once-over, or you're fine, got done.
Yep. So, the low-rent Ben Stiller comes in.
Brings them wine.
Brings them a special wine that's made in-house.
They drink it, and they say it has a weird aftertaste, and then...
They start tripping balls.
George just passes out, and she starts, like, walking in circles, like, kind of, like, being, like, happy. And this is where it turns into a Salvador Dali painting.
I mean, I'd be more okay with it if Salvador Dali did help with this movie.
He did, Will.
Yeah.
He did uncredited help. She starts, like, running through hallways, and it's like Dutch angles, and the...
Dutch angles, and it's, like, a violet.
Even like, the, like, yeah, it's, like, violet colors, and even, like, the actual, like, hallway is, like, shaped weird.
Yeah.
Everything's weird, and there's, like, people, like, in corners everywhere.
Like, one guy's drooling a bunch.
Yeah, and there's, like, people just, like, hiding in corners this whole time, and it's bizarre.
It's weird.
And it just keeps going and going and going, and then she runs into this guy who looks like... He looks like the Bride of Frankenstein, but a man.
It's like the Bride of Frankenstein and the Wolfman had a baby, and it was a guy, and he grew up and looked like a mesh between both of them.
So he tells her that, like, the master is waiting or something?
Yep, so they walk through this room, and there's a bunch of people dressed up like animals.
And they're all, like, clawing each other.
Now, this is weird, because the audio kept... It wasn't the Amazon's fault. We watched it on Amazon Prime. But, like, the audio kept cutting. Whoever, I don't know if it was the movie,
at
but...
I'm guessing... Yeah, like, the
but
guy...
But it was, like, important things, like, oh, you're not ready for... And then it would, like... Yeah. Like, you gotta go to...
Yeah. It's, like, at some point after this was made, like... It's, like, they... somehow, like, the film print got, like, fucked up.
I'm sure it did, because...
So they're missing, like... Like... There's, like, just two lines that are just completely gone.
They're missing a lot of scenes, too, I'll admit. Like, it sure? seemed like they were missing a lot of scenes.
You sure?
Can you explain what happens later?
You think those are missing scenes, Will?
Yes.
How about if that's how it's intended?
Well, then it's bullshit.
That is how the brilliant director intended.
Okay. I can take that. I mean, it's not good,
you
but I'll
already
take it.
Took it.
Oh, I'm taking it.
You took it hard, boy.
Oh, I am.
You had no choice. The movie just gave it to you.
Just forces its way in.
And then she walks through these doors, and suddenly we are outside.
It's a completely different scenery there in a woods, and Dr. Moldavo's just standing against a tree.
And she's, like, running at him, like, all happy.
Yep.
And this is when the gobbledygook... ramps up.
Oh, Dr. Moldavo just starts talking all this, like, philosophical bullshit.
Yeah.
About, like, the darkness and, like...
And how she's gonna be his queen.
How she's gonna be his queen and, like, how...
This is my destiny. It's very Shakespearean, Will.
So, after he's done talking, it cuts to him, like, holding out his hand, and then she grabs it, but she has a ring around her ring finger.
He has a giant fucking ring, by the way.
He has a giant ring, and she has, like, a tiny wedding ring. Gold ring. And they hold hands.
And then he's like, we're linked.
And I guess, is that them marrying?
Well, no, they're just linked, whatever that means.
Because
apparently, as long
like
as...
Like the promise ring.
When Dr. Moldavo touches you, you are linked, apparently.
Yes. So, we get...
Then they're in a bed...
We also get Ben Stiller locking George up.
Oh, yeah.
So he... Very, very... Low-rate Ben Stiller picks up George.
Very important scene.
Drops him in the dungeon and then closes the door. And we don't see George until the most random scene of the movie.
You mean the best scene. And
it is the best scene of the movie.
So he... They're on a bed. Moldavo and Maya. And they're talking and he kind of explains his backstory.
He says he only knew the darkness. He was never loved, and he never loved anyone.
Yeah, and he like wanted like a sign of like something more out of life, and like.
And then he found demons and darkness.
And that like, Maya keeps hearing like these voices calling out to her, just saying her name, and he's like, "Those are my demons. I summon them." Blah blah blah.
What do they call you to you? And then they're just saying Maya.
It's all gobbledygook.
And then just out of fucking nowhere, he's sucking her neck. It just cuts right to her sucking him sucking her neck. For no fucking reason.
After this we get when they're walking with the like giant ceremony, right?
Yeah, so they're like in those like the silver ropes.
So I think this is supposed to be the marriage.
And like we see George in the background.
On like a cross.
With his arms cut like in the first scene.
And they're carrying them to this like dungeon.
And then like and they're carrying him to this dungeon, and then we get a scene of Maya and Moldavo holding, like, these giant goblets.
Yeah.
Supposedly filled with blood. And then George is in the background on the podium. And then,
the man.
And then...
the legend.
No, so, before this...
Shut
your
fucking mouth.
I think this is how it happened, but I'm not sure.
What?
So, remember, the mute girl...
Yes.
...disagrees with everything Moldavo, and she decides that, I guess...
We saw her grabbing, like, a box, remember?
Yeah, and she was gonna... And she was, like, heading toward to where George was.
Yeah.
And then... the man...
The legend.
The myth.
The George.
The George... You know...
Shows up... with...
3 years before fucking...
With the mute.
Yep.
He has... A fucking lightsaber.
Yes, it's a broadsword that is completely lit up with light.
It's the greatest thing I've ever witnessed.
Star Wars, move out of the way. We got a new hero. His name is George.
George.
Too bad he dies in 10 minutes, but still, we got George.
The legend, George.
George, lightsabers.
The George.
The George.
He shows up with a lightsaber and everyone freaks out and...
And Moldavo kills the mute woman
because... He stabs her with his giant necklace.
Giant crescent moon necklace.
And then he just, like, runs to, like, a balcony. And is, like, talking to, like, the sky. Because apparently the demon blah 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 lives in the sky.
I love this scene.
This scene is great. It's so dumb.
It's so ridiculous.
He walks up to him.
George walks up to him with a lightsaber.
And like,
and then gently places it on his head.
Yeah, he places it on his head.
Like he's knighting him. Like it's like a gentle, dainty placement.
Little does he know, he is dooming him.
And then he pulls the sword down, and Moldavo just falls off the balcony.
Yeah.
He like, oh, ah, and then falls off the balcony with his eye cut.
So
apparently George cut his eye.
Yes.
By gently placing a sword
on his head. It's a lightsaber, Will.
Sorry, you're right. By gently placing a lightsaber on his head?
What would happen if you put a lightsaber on someone's head, Will? Exactly. How fucking dare you?
So he goes and grabs Maya.
And they start running in circles.
They start running, and then Maya's like, hey, I can't see anything without light in the way.
I'm tired. Put it down. And he puts it down.
He's like, okay.
And there's like 50 people behind him all of a sudden. They kill him.
And little rape Ben Stiller comes up, chokes
and Maya's
him to death.
Like, kill him. Kill him. And then they kill him. So the man, the legend, the George is dead.
The short 5 minute stint of
he's
George.
Dead.
He didn't even kill anyone because Moldavo gets up like immediately after.
He killed one person. Think about it, you fuck. Think.
Oh, he did kill one person.
It's just a very slow, long death. He should have, like, cut his fucking head off or something, but no! He couldn't do that.
No. Nope.
Because then we wouldn't have the... Because if he did that, we wouldn't have the next 20 minutes of the movie, which are very important.
No, they're not.
Yes,
they
are.
Stupid.
They drive home the Shakespearean tragedy, Will. So she finds Moldavo, and his eye is all fucked up, and they're like... We need to leave. We need to go somewhere else. And by somewhere else, we find out that that means her fucking apartment.
And now we get a scene of her looking like a nun.
Yes, and she's like talking to...
And his eyes all fucked up.
Yeah, and it's just like a straight line down his face. But it looks like pizza. We'll get to that later.
Don't worry. And
he's like whisper talking, but he's in pain. And she's like, calm down, this will pass. It's okay, this will pass.
And he's like, no, Lord Rakish has abandoned me.
And then,
what did I do wrong?
So she has a plan. She tells this woman about the plan, and she's like, okay, I'll do it. She goes away. And then low-rate Ben Stiller shows up, and she's like, I need something from you. He's like, what? I'll do anything for Master. And she's like, we need blood.
It demands a blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
He's like, of course, that I can do that. And then the lady walks up behind him.
And stabs him.
And stabs him.
Off camera.
Yep. And, so...
And we see her, like...
We see,
giving him, like, a very small glass
but she
of tomato juice.
She had told the woman that Moldavo needs a great deal of blood.
Well, they explained that to you.
I know, but yes. It didn't make sense when she brought in the tiny cup of blood.
What did you expect, boy?
I don't know. And his face is just covered in more pizza.
Yeah, there's more pizza on his face now. And I was like, at first I didn't, like, I wasn't sure if that was intentional, but we found out later it is. So... She gives him the drink and he drinks it and he's like, is there more? She's like, no, that was the last. And he's like still in pain. So she's talking to the lady again.
So she's like, we need to go out and get more blood.
We need more blood.
And the lady's like, no, I won't
do it. Look at my hands.
They have blood all over them. I can't
wash them off.
Now, does that remind you of a certain play?
Yeah,
certain tragedy?
Yeah, it does.
Lady Macbeth?
No, Midsummer Night's Dream. No. No, Will, it's, yeah.
It's a clear bash on Lady Macbeth, because she can't wash the blood clean, no matter how hard she tries.
I told you.
Yep.
It's a Shakespearean tragedy. It is,
yes.
Fucking,
I agree.
Fucking listen, Will.
No, I'm woke now, man.
It's a goddamn...
I get it.
Masterpiece.
I get it.
Gerard Damiano.
He's a fucking genius.
The man, the legend.
Yes.
With his lightsabers.
With his lightsabers and penetration.
Mm.
And...
Shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth, Will.
Not yet. Okay.
And
so the so the girl's is... like washing her hands and she like washes her face.
She plugs the drain in the sink and just conveniently, Will.
Fills the sink up with water.
Lets it fill up with water and then turns it off. And I'm just like, you could not... You know, this is what they call telegraphing. Okay? It's a fucking telegraph. You know, telegraphs are fucking slow. They take like a fucking year to send a letter from New York to Salt Lake. This is like the movie version of that.
Yeah.
She fills the sink up with water, and we know that there needs to be more blood.
We know what's going to happen.
Your brain is immediately like, she's going to fucking drown her.
Yeah.
Because
I even said it. I was
yeah,
like, is
because
she
first of all,
her?
Like, no, you don't. Okay, you're washing your hands. Do you fill the whole sink with water?
No.
And then just turn it off?
No.
No, you just turn on the water and you take a fucking soap and wash your hands. But no. So, but
now see, to add insult to injury,
well, see, in the movie, it subverts your expectations because she just takes her face and starts smashing it into the mirror.
And then she pushes her head into the water.
But that's not enough.
This is like overkill right here.
That's not enough.
Like, bashes her face.
There is a giant.
So as she's drowning the lady, just to add insult to injury, she grabs a giant mirror shard and plunges it into her back.
Over and over.
Yeah.
And then she finally dies.
So this poor woman gets beaten, drowned, and stabbed to death.
For blood, Will. For my love.
Yeah, but blood got everywhere.
She's going to have to wipe it all off and then put it into a glass.
Yeah.
For the,
a great deal of blood.
For dear master husband.
For Pizza the Hut.
Well, and she brings... we see her with him again and she's looking very very holy.
Yes. She has like a brown...
She keeps looking more like a fucking nun as these scenes go on for some reason. And now he is full Pizza the Hut.
Except for his eye and part of his mouth. But yeah, if you've seen Spaceballs, think Pizza the Hut, but only on his face.
He looks like that. And now he can't talk, and now he's like having trouble breathing, and he just dies.
Yep, and she's like, why? Bring him back! If
bring me a sign! Give me a sign! blah, blah, blah.
She turns her head, and there's pizza on it.
She's got the Pizza the Hut disease now.
She's got the pizza disease.
Lord Rakish is vengeful with his pizza.
Yes.
The end.
Lord Rakish, funny enough, Lord Rakish is a pizza demon.
The first ever pizza demon.
Pizza and sex demon.
The first ever.
I mean, pizza and sex is great, but you bring a demon into the mix? Ooh. So, if you haven't noticed, we've been making a lot of,
okay.
innuendo Let's, references.
Okay. So, the movie has a certain, let's just say, atmosphere to it, okay?
Hmm. And what kind of atmosphere are you talking about?
Well, shut the fuck up. As we do, when we watch these movies, I frequently look up the directors because I want to know what did they do before, after, whatever.
I think this guy's directed a lot of good stuff.
So I looked him up and I was like, wow, this guy's done a lot of work. He's done a lot of good things. Shall we read off?
I'll let you start and then I'll go.
So right before this, he made The Devil in Miss Jones.
Devil in Miss Jones.
In Miss Jones.
In 1978, he directed a movie called Skin Flicks.
In 1981, he directed Never So Deep.
Oh, don't forget about such hits as The Satisfiers of Alpha Blue.
Oh, I love Alpha Blue. A year later, he made Consenting Adults.
What about Night Hunger in 1983?
Oh, we've all been there, man. And he made two very iconic films in 1984, one of which was Whose Fantasy Is This Anyway?
Mm-hmm. And the other one, Inside Everybody.
Everybody?
Yes, but it doesn't stop there. No, no. No. No, this guy is a directorial genius.
In 1987, he made Slightly Used.
Don't forget about the classic Ultra Sex.
Oh, don't forget Maximum Head.
What about Lessons in Lust? Or Future Sodom?
However, my favorite.
I can't.
His magnum opus in 1989, Splendor in the Ass. You hear? Splendor in the Ass.
Splendor in the Ass. Yes, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, this man is the famous director of Deep Throat, a porno director making a horror movie.
As far as I can see from his very long list of movies, this is the only real movie, non-porno, he ever did.
I can looking at his filmography, he's literally just done pornos.
And we watched it.
We watched a porno director's only venture out of pornography.
Does it feel like how you expected it would, Will?
Actually, yes.
Knowing this.
Yes. Okay. I would imagine a porno director would make a actual movie just like this. So incoherent because he had no idea what he was fucking doing. Because
it's missing the sex scenes every 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So he's like, oh shit.
He's like, I don't know what to fill this in with. Let's just do a scene that makes no sense.
That's genius.
Yeah, it works, I guess. Okay.
Now that we're done circle jerking about this nonsense, what are your thoughts about this movie?
This movie is an absolute mess. I didn't exactly hate it.
I didn't either.
But it was so incoherent and confusing.
I do have some positives.
It has more plot holes than a piece of Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, like, I liked some of it, because, like, I mean, it was so ridiculous and goofy that I had a fun time watching it. But not because it's a good movie, but because it's so horrible, and I feel like he was trying to do something. But you could tell it was a... This is my final thought. You could tell it was a porn director trying to make a serious horror movie.
Yeah. But it's not even... it's if anything, it's almost like an art house horror movie.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
I do have my positives. It's a very good looking movie.
Yeah, for 74.
There's a lot of like good, yeah. It's a very like visually pleasing. There's a lot of like really colorful rooms and outfits and like weird, like, I mean, that whole scene where she just drinks the blood and it's like a Salvador Dali surrealist painting, like, it's pretty well done. It has like a weird, it has a pretty good look to it, but once you get down to like the, you know, the writing and the characters,
well, yeah, because he's not writing the, you know, a sex scene where they just have this little conversation and all of a sudden she's, I mean, sucking his dick. You know, like, that's just how pornos go. It's like a totally, well, like, just non-related conversation.
We did get
a sex, yeah, well, technically, sort of, a sex scene.
It's the most awkward thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because when you look at this movie, you can see, like, okay, like, you could make this into, like, a porno. Because the plot is, I mean, if you fucking really want to get down to it, the whole plot is that, like, this dude is lusting over some woman.
Now, this is basically a porno that you've taken all the sex scenes out of.
That you took it all out, and instead it's, like...
Imagine a porno with the terrible acting, the almost little to no plot, the various plot holes that happen in the porno, and just take all of that and just remove all the sex scenes.
To be fair, the acting is okay except for Moldavo.
He is the worst in this. He acts like a lackey, but he's the actual, like, mastermind.
He is my hero. If that man can be the leader with a giant crescent necklace, well, anybody can. It's hilarious. I don't know where they found him.
Should start making crescent necklaces.
Maybe they found him in a porno. I don't know.
Like, if you're a premium listener, we'll give you a huge-ass crescent necklace. If you just download our episodes, we'll give you a tiny crescent necklace. And then if, like, you know, like, you download a couple, like, you know, maybe a medium crescent necklace.
Yeah, but we have the biggest ones.
Yes. Giant. Bigger than Moldavo's.
Like, you have, like, we can barely carry them.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, fucking killing our necks.
Exactly. And they're made out of pure gold.
Would you recommend this movie?
I would think that, yeah, actually, honestly, like, not because it's good, but I think it's a fun movie to watch just for the sheer, like you said, like, kind of the visuals are cool, and, like, the story makes no sense, but it's fun to make fun of with your friends. So I would say get a bunch of beer, get a bunch of friends, watch this movie, and just enjoy it for what it is.
Mm.
And just remember a porno director directed it, and that's why it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you recommend this movie?
Yeah. I would. It's probably better with, like, company, but...
I would never watch it alone.
If you appreciate... I don't know. We've seen much, much worse.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen movies that's where, like...
That goes without saying.
Because the things I said, like, it's a good-looking movie, and it's, like, well... I mean, the writing is shit, and, like, the plot's just not there, but, like, it's not badly made.
No.
Like, we've watched movies with... Well, I can't say anything positive. So, I'd say it's worth a look. Yeah. A single look.
Get a bunch of beer. Get a bunch of friends. Go to Amazon Prime if you
haven't.
But
don't tell them.
Yeah, don't tell them what's going on, and definitely don't tell them who directed it.
Don't tell them who directed it. But after you're done, then tell them who directed it.
Just go read off his titles like we did.
Yeah.
And then just let the hilarity begin. It is, like we mentioned before, it is on Amazon Prime. That's
and
where
again,
we watched
it's
it.
Only 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not going to take up much of your time.
And it doesn't really feel super long. I mean, we watched Blackenstein, which is 1 hour and 20 minutes.
That felt like a fucking, like, 8-hour
movie.
Which,
yeah. So, you know what? To Gerard Damiano, our fucking smut man who made this, good job.
I'm going to give you a thank you and a golf clap.
Good job, buddy. You made a better movie than Blackenstein.
Yes, you did.
And this probably cost less money.
And it's a good introduction to 1974. I'm sure we got a lot of shit to wade through. But
oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm excited. And I hope everyone else is excited too. And thanks for everyone for listening and coming on our journey with us and, you know, exploring these weird-ass, stupid, terrible horror movies.
Masterpiece.
Because I'm having a blast. So, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we have been They Mostly Come Out at Night. We will talk to you all on Sunday.
Bye.